Ringo Starr, why is the only ring you have on a wedding ring?
Because I didn't feel I needed a lot of rings on today. I don't wear a lot anymore anyway. You know what I mean? I'm not the fully decked Ringo.
But he did sport a lobe full of earrings, tinted glasses, and a big white star on his T-shirt. We met the former Beatle. Really, can you be a former Beatle? In a cramped but opulently furnished dressing room backstage at NBC's Rockefeller Center this past week. He was about to go on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon to promote his new album, Why Not? A lot of guest stars appear with Ringo Starr's band, Joss Stone, Joe Walsh, Dave Stewart, and his Fab Four mate, Sir Paul McCartney. On Why Not, Ringo Starr has produced a recording full of tunes that look both forward and back.
The other side of Liverpool is cold and damp. Only way out of there, drums, guitar, and amp. The other side of Liverpool, where I came from. My mother was a barmaid. At the age of three, my father was gone.
This is the first record you've produced in your solo career, the producer.
It is. It's the first time I actually took complete control of the reins. With this one, I had so much fun with it.
Sir George Martin once told me that producing sometimes is as much the art of subtraction as it is the art of addition. You're nodding, you agree with him.
I agree completely with him because I've always felt a space is as good as a fill. You know what I mean? Gaps can be very emotional. I mean, that's in my drumming. When I drum, you know, I don't need to drum all over the track. I play with the singer and I can back off. And it's the same. This record, I think, you can definitely hear not an emptiness, but the sparseness, you know.
You leave space.
I do. For a note to breathe, for a crash to linger, you know.
So it doesn't go without saying that because you're a producer and the drummers end up higher in the mix.
Well, I do, actually. No, it doesn't. It's, the drummer's always got to be there. They're the floor of the whole deal, and everyone can stand up on you.
One of the things you have always said in documentaries I've seen is you love to be in a band. And this CD starts off, no holds barred, this is a rock and roll band. Fill in the blanks, Joel Walsh. Yeah. That's the statement you're making. Immediately.
Well, yes, you know, I mean, I'll say it again. I love being in a band. I've never had any big ideas of like being the solo, you know, playing this, playing that. I love playing with other human beings. I've never practiced drums unless there was another human being in the room.
Really?
I've never gone to the bedroom and, you know, when I was starting out and practiced away. If you could play, I'll play with you all night. But if I'm just playing by myself, it gets boring pretty quick.
Was the drum your first instrument of choice?
The drum was the first and only instrument.
Really?
Yeah. I was 13 and I played drums. I was in hospital and they had this lady would come round with percussive instruments to keep us busy. I also learned to knit in hospital, but anyway, that's another story. And I played the drums and then I wouldn't be in the band unless she gave me a drum. And I only wanted to be a drummer. That's where my soul is.
You have to tell us your side of the Pete Best story. How did you get the gig, your side of the story,
well,
as a drummer?
My side of the story is still the same as when it happened, was that I was in Rory Storm and the Hurricanes and in Liverpool, and Brian Epstein knocked on the door and he said, Pete can't make the gig. Could you play with the Beatles? I said, sure.
Brian Epstein, I have to ask, because you were one of the first groups, and I remember this because I was your target audience, you know, a tween girl. Dressed you in suits, skinny
ties. No, Brian
ties.
Was great because he said, he used to come up with these great ideas and he says, you know, I think it'd be a good idea if you don't drink and smoke and swear at the audience while you're on stage.
The songs on your new CD, are these songs that you had written and were kind of hanging around?
No, nothing was written. The tracks were made first. That's why this is a crazy album. I started just playing synthesizer in the bedroom in L.A. Sound like one of those stories. And then I would put drums onto these synth tracks I'd found. Then the next level, we put guitars on. We had no songs. We just had tracks. And so I had Joe Walsh on, I had Billy Squire. this record, if you pass through LA and I knew you, you're on the record. That's how it worked. I mean, let's get honest here. You know what I mean?
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. The one thing a lot of people are talking about this in terms of your calling up your mates is one of them was Paul McCartney,
yeah.
And he performs with you on Walk With You.
I see you say Sir George Mont, but you didn't say Sir Paul McCartney.
I didn't say Sir Paul, because I'm not used to
no,
it.
Well, I
are
ne-
you a sir yet?
No, I never say Sir Paul or Sir George.
But you're an MBE, right?
I am, but okay. Let's not get into that. Let's get
anyway,
into,
Sir
yes,
Paul.
I called Paul because he was coming through L.A., and when he heard Walk With You, he wanted to sing on it, so he sang that part. So, okay, fine.
When I walk with you, when I talk with you, everything will be fine. When I walk with you, when I talk with you, everything will be fine. Will be fine.
What do you think you learned from George Martin as a producer?
George Martin learned a lot more from us.
He did. Tell us what he learned from you.
He learned to keep the damn tape rolling, because we'd do a great take, and he didn't have the tape on, you know. And we say, George, turn the... And he's, oh, did you want to record that, boys? but he was great. No, George was... incredibly helpful to us. And, you know, we're buskers. The four of us are buskers. None of us can read music. We don't know anything about music. We're only how to play it. And George could write it down, and he would say, you know, maybe if we just do this, lads, or that. But, you know, he was... And he took... George was the only person who took a chance on us to make a record, because every other label turned us down.
But he heard something. He heard something there.
He did hear something, and he wanted us to record other people's songs. And we said no. And every song he picked for us to record that we didn't record, he gave to Jerry and the Pacemakers, other Brian Epstein acts usually, and they all had hits with it. You know, so it wasn't like he was picking bad stuff, but we were determined only to do our music. You know, Lennon and McCartney. So everyone was inventing, because we were new at this. And suddenly, can we do this? Can we do that? And with George's help, well, I don't know, why not, boys? And, you know, we went and we did the first album in 12 hours. And then we started to bring in more music. It changed on Rubber Soul. It went, you know, and then it ended up, for me, the White Album. We can't dismiss Sgt. Pepper, but I love the White Album. And Abbey Road, you know what I mean? You can feel we know what we're doing more.
Right, you're evolving. You can tell you're evolving.
Yeah. And so was George, and so were we all together, because we'd spend time.
Yeah. There are touches on this CD. I feel like you're making, you're honoring, particularly your bandmates who have passed. The song Why Not, if I'm not mistaken, ends in this luscious Bollywood kind of Indian ending that I thought perhaps might be some kind of nod towards George and his sitar days?
Well, that's a better story than I've got.
Oh, what's your story then?
She was at LAX, Tina the tabla player, and Dave Stewart called me. I said, tell her to come on over. And she's on the record.
There I go looking for deep meaning,
yeah.
Right?
But I have written a song for George, and we do focus on John for Peace Stream, because
right.
He did that. I have no problem mentioning my bandmates, you know, and writing lines and using lines. And usually on every record, I've used the line from Photograph or Don't Come Easy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Use lines over and over again if it works for that song. I have no problem with that.
Right. But you don't consider yourself a songwriter, do you?
I do now.
You do?
I do. I'm a musician. I'm a drummer. I write songs.
Was Hard Day's Night your phrase?
It was. It's been a hard day's night.
Yeah.
It's called malaprops that John used to say. My head worked faster than my mouth, so two lines would come out together.
Yeah.
Not like I planned it. It's just how it was.
Have you ever played Beatles Guitar Hero?
Yes, I tried it when they were showing it to us, and I'm useless at it. So next question.
Your son Zach is a drummer?
He is.
And your other son is a drummer as well,
he
right?
Is.
And he thinks that
and my grandson is a drummer.
You have a grandson?
I have many of them. I have 7 grandchildren.
No.
All the family are doing great, and we had Christmas dinner where there's 28 of us, and 12 of them were staying with us.
Favorite song on the CD?
It's hard. They're all like your babies.
Sure, so, I know. The tune you do with Joss Stone, Who's Your Daddy?
Well, that's a rocker, too.
Oh, yeah.
And she just wails.
What a voice.
What a voice, and, you know, what a lot of fun. And now Luce, you know, she's a young woman, and she came over, and we wrote it in no time, and she did the vocal. You know, it's okay, that's that.
I sit and comfortably, I know you find it hard to sleep.
Ringo Starr signaled our interview time was up when he said, okay, what's the big question? So we floated this idea. 400 years from now, do you think people will still be listening to Mozart, Beethoven, and the Beatles?
Well, yeah, I have to agree with that. You know, I do honestly believe the music will be going down still. And, you know, we made those records quite a while ago, and we keep putting the same records out because we're not making any new ones. And the kids are interested in the music of them. They're not interested in us being mop tops and beetle boots and crazy suits. You know, it's all down to the music now. That's what they hear and that's what they love. So there's a possibility that Beethoven and the Beatles, hey.
I just want to, Ringo Starr, thank you so much for giving us the time to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And this was very pleasant and relaxed.
Yeah.
And so can I just say peace and love?
Ringo Starr's new album is called Why Not. You can hear additional cuts from this CD at nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.